The local food movement is growing up. It may be sporadic for some, fanatical for others, but it is certain that interest in direct connections with food producers is rising and the options are expanding. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. The producers are planting their next crops now. What? They are planning their next crop year now. What are the things that food consumers can consider before next year's season? Our number 1-800-478-8255. 478-TOKA-LOKA. Call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org. Links between consumers and producers on Talk of Alaska.
Today's program is underwritten in part by BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska, and by Solstice Advertising, bringing creativity to Alaska businesses and nonprofits, from research and strategy to print, web, and broadcast production. Solstice Advertising, an agency for brands that want to shine. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Well, if past programs on this issue have been any indication, you need to get your call in early if you want to talk to our guests today, because pretty quickly the lines pile up, and then after a while the emails pile up at all, and we don't get to all the calls. So bear in mind that number. 1-800-478-8255. Email talk@alaskapublic.org. Well, we're back to linking local food producers to food consumers in new and different ways. People want quality food. They want local food. And the ways to get this are multiplying. And most of the time, the price is higher, but not always. And this has been especially booming in the state of Alaska. CSA, Community Share Agriculture, Community Supported Agriculture, has been expanding by leaps and bounds. There's more growth in farmers markets in Alaska than there is anywhere else in the country, and on and on and on. I'm going to start by introducing from, I believe, Carnation, Washington, but speaking to us right now from Seattle, Andrew Stout, the founder of Full Circle Farms. Andrew, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Andrew, how long has your Full Circle been in operation?
We're celebrating 15 years this year. It's been an exciting go, from 5 acres to 425. And we're a happy producer of 50 varieties of organic produce, and we're excited to be in the organic food movement.
And you have never had the slightest regret. I guess it's been pretty much a straight up upward growth cycle for you over those 15 years?
Our real basic mission is to change the food system, and we believe putting seed to soil is the way to do it, and then connecting consumers to their food. So while you can say there's been lots of growth, yes, with a few heartaches and headaches, farming has got its challenges, as many people will know, and we've had our shares over the years, but the mission is so much bigger than us, and we're just excited to have an opportunity to make a better food system.
And joining us from up in the Fairbanks area is Mike Emmers of Rosie Creek Farm. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Mike.
Good morning, Steve.
Mike, is Rosie Creek a CSA?
Yes, we are a CSA. We have about 150 members. We're the farthest north certified organic farm in the country. We also sell to several restaurants in town, to Jeff Johnson's Homegrown Market here, and we sell it at several farmers markets.
And how long have you been in existence there at Rosie Creek?
This is our 13th season.
And Rosie Creek and confluence of Rosie Creek and Tanana River. Can you place that for me?
Well, we're just about 15 miles southeast of Fairbanks, so we're about 20 minutes drive outside of Fairbanks.
Now, you are obviously, could you expand?
Yes, we could. There's certainly a market, although it's a little muddled at this point. We're not selling as many CSA shares as we have a few years ago. And there could be a number of reasons for that, whether it's saturation in the market, whether it's competition from outfits like Full Circle Farm, I'm not sure. But we're actually looking towards wholesaling more. We're waiting for the new Fairbanks Food Co-op to come online. Hopefully we can sell to them. But we're at a we're at a point in local food where although there's a lot of it, there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect between the price for what people say they want to pay for it, and the actual buying of it. So in some cases we do very well, and in other cases it's hard to say.
Would you, if you had your choice, what would you do? Would you like, is the restaurant business good for you? Is the CSA business good for you? Because I guess that helps you capitalize. What is your preferred business model, or is it to just want to be diversified?
And, you know, as far as marketing, it's being pretty diverse. I think for a farm our size, and we're about 5 to 6 acres, I think if you don't have a diverse marketing plan, it's not a good idea. But I think, you know, overall, we are there's a lot of small scale growers here, and it's sort of silly, but a lot of people think that at a farm my size, 5 acres, that we're a big farm, and that's you know, you travel around the country, and that's far from the case. We're a pretty small farm. The problem is that Alaska is not yet feeding itself. There's a lot of interest in it, but there's there is a growing number of farmers, but I think there's room for a lot more. And food security, local food systems first, then regional food systems next. That's real key towards. Most of our food comes from outside Alaska, and it still does, even though there's a big interest in local farms. So we need more land available for farms, we need more farmers, and we need a real farm economy. And I'm not just talking about farmers, but I'm talking about a support industry that grows around it, so that costs will be less for us, and then prices might come down somewhat, but then there'll be a general awareness and a general feeling that we can't feed ourselves in Alaska.
Yeah, I guess there's a limit to what the market can even do, because although certainly people look at the market and that gives them some clues about investment, but there's a limit to what the market can do when you don't have the infrastructure, when you don't have the, you raise chickens, but you need a better way to commercially slaughter them, and you don't have that. Or let's say milk producers need to produce cheese, because, you know, that's part of the way you handle your inventory. Or you get beyond, 4 or 5 acres, and you need probably a different sort of equipment. You know, you need some bigger equipment to just tend your fields, right?
Well, I think farmers have always been struggling with economy of scale, and you know, if you have a tractor on 1 acre, well, you might as well bump it up to 5 or 6 acres to make use of that equipment. Yes, that's one thing. But, you know, we face obvious issues in providing food from Alaska, one of which is the climate and extremely short growing season. We can augment, but there is an explosion of production in those few short months. I think the key is to have enough storage facilities, either through the combined efforts of farmers or at farmers markets or food co-ops, so that small-scale producers can store their stuff through the winter, because we can grow enough food, at least in storage crops, to provide us throughout the year. There's no reason why we can't.
Wow. You know what? This may strike you as completely bizarre. It is a bizarre thought. But the fact of the matter is, I think the best inventory handlers in the United States when it comes to retail are Walmart. You know, I can actually see the point where Walmart would see it to their advantage to build a root cellar in Alaska before anybody else. But I'm probably wrong.
Well, you know, that's great. You know, if Walmart really does want to buy, step up to the plate and buy local food, I mean, getting it to the masses is what it's all about in the long run. And, you know, whoever wants to buy local food, you know, we farmers would welcome that.
Yeah. Andrew Stout of Full Circle Farms, I'm sorry to be neglecting you, but I just have a billion and billion questions here, and our listeners is just starting to call in at 1-800-478-8255. But I want to pursue this a little bit, the evolution of Full Circle Farm, because you're not really a CSA anymore, even though you kind of have an economic model like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're, you know, proud of our CSA roots. When we started 15 years ago, we were on 5 acres, similar to what Mike is growing now, and had a traditional CSA. And over time, that has morphed into our farm-to-table service that that we provide now.
I got to just jump in here mm-hmm. and say how impressed I am. By this time, you're actually delivering not just to, like, kind of pickup points, but in some cases right to people's doors?
That's correct. We have 250 pickup locations, including 100 that are way out in the bush, and then we offer home delivery service in the Anchorage market. And are excited with our new offering going in to the joint base there to provide the customers at Elmendorf and Richardson with a home delivered product as well.
Wow. But just to clarify, this is not necessarily going to be Alaska food. Do you even broker some Alaska food through Full Circle, or what exactly is coming in those boxes? Where is that coming from?
That's a great question, Steve. And what we've really done is we try to connect consumers with the food that they eat, and we're able to do that through online, a lot of messaging, a lot of recipes, and a lot of stories. Specifically with Alaska, we are able to work with a few farms. The AD Farms and Alex Davis has provided us with broccoli and cabbage, beets and potatoes, and the Mark Rempel Farm. Was an excellent potato grower that we've had a chance to use in the past as well, and are looking forward to upcoming harvests. This is a chance that I'd love to, you know, make that call to. We have a need, and as Mike has expressed, growing more food and being able to produce it in local regions and distribute it in the local regions is key. And we're constantly looking for and encouraging more organic growers to develop in Alaska. So if anybody out there knows of a farm that got some extra produce and is looking to sell, please have them give us a call or send us an email at info@fullcircle.com, and we'd be happy to work with them.
Well, I'd like to know, Andrew, what you mentioned a couple of farms. Really, what percentage of your stuff comes from Alaska, and where else is it sourced from?
It's mostly sourced from the Pacific Northwest. Unfortunately, the only two organic farms that are in wholesale business, there's, as you've said, Mike, it's just not a lot of wholesale organic production in Alaska anymore, and we'd love to see more of that. So we start here in Carnation and grow on our 425 acres and work with as many of the Pacific Northwest growers we can in season. And then as the season moves, we're in the similar place as Alaska here in the lower 48. Most of the food production travels with the seasonality and heads south. And so we'll have to chase that as well into grower relations we have in California and even into Mexico and beyond. We were excited about supporting all the good organic farmers out there, and as we had the conversation earlier, it's a very strong and vital brand, and the ability to have organic food, I think, needs support both starting locally, regionally, and globally.
Okay, now, how do you know that it is really organic if it's like coming from someplace down in Baja? I mean, I suppose there's some system in Mexico, but then all the way down to Chile, maybe not so much.
Steve, I think it's a very strong accreditation program. You're required to get certificates of certification that are utilizing both certification agencies on the local, regional, national level. So it's a place that we get inspected several times a year. We have to keep the paperwork chains and chain of custody. So it's a very strong and reliable system. And we make it a point to also follow up and have relationships with the growers as well. Some I wish I could get to all the ones in the tropical region, certainly in our winter time, but we extend and learn about the grower chains that we support.
Wow. Okay, we're talking with Andrew Stout and hearing about the growth of Full Circle Farms, and that Full Circle is getting to be a really big circle. We're also speaking with Mike Emmers of Rosie Creek Farm, a fairly small-scale CSA, but you know the food is going to be local if you get it from Rosie Creek. Let's go to, if you're ready for calls, gentlemen, they're stacking up. So I'd like to go to I'd like to go to Sonia, joins the program from Eagle, Alaska. And it's great to hear from Eagle, Sonia. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, I'm calling from Eagle, and it's on the Upper Yukon. My husband, Mike McDougall, and I live here with our family. And our main livestock is actually large Alaska working huskies, which he uses to guide for the Bush Alaska expeditions here.
Right.
But I'm not calling about that. I'm calling because we do have a subsistence-type garden for many years. And this year we experimented with growing hullas, oats, and field peas for our registered CAE-free Nigerian dwarf dairy goats. And that went pretty well, as did the wheat. And then our chickens, we've had a very tough kind of northern strain of chickens, a mix of different heritage breeds for some years. And they live in a well-insulated coop without heat, even at 50 below. And this year we have three beautiful orange roosters from our June 3rd hatch still available for $15 each. If you keep hens over the winter and you would like fertile eggs so that you can hatch your own northern strain chicks next
year. Wait a minute. This is not Stop and Shop.
That's great. I love it. That's wonderful. Good for you.
I love it. I feel like
and
I'm in small-town radio all of a sudden here.
Learning more about hogs. So if you've got hogs or seek roosters, you can give us a call. We're listed under Sager in the phone book.
Spell it.
Lovely.
Sonia, spell it.
S-A-G-E-R, and our number is 547-3068, and we can deliver the roosters anytime in the first week of October, only to Fairbanks.
All righty. Hey, Sonia, I want to ask you a little bit about your wheat. You're actually growing, like, winter wheat up there?
It's called Roblin wheat, and it comes from an organic farm. The seed comes from an organic farm in Maine, and my husband just did an experimental plot this year, and it yielded quite well, actually, on pretty bad ground. So.
Congratulations.
Hopefully more in the future.
Yeah, congratulations. Good luck on the livestock.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Kurt, joins the program from the Goldstream Valley. Hello, Kurt. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Good morning. And I also have heritage chickens in a well-insulated coop that is not heated. And in addition, I don't even give them water in the winter. I give them a bucket of snow and a bucket of barley once a week. It's very easy. But they don't lay eggs.
Oh.
And, anyways, my call.
But you eat. So you eat them or what?
Those are layers that are going to be laying next spring.
Okay.
And I just give them the whole winter off.
I see. So basically, if you were to heat their water, you might do a little better on yield. Would that be?
Yeah, but I would have to also heat their laying box
So
that I don't have frozen eggs.
Yes, right. I mean, the chickens wouldn't like that either.
Right. It, I mean, to me, trying to get eggs in the winter is just a tremendous expense.
Yeah, 40 below, 50 below, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my question is for Mr. Emerson. I'm just curious, what percentage of the ability to stay in business is dependent upon grants, you know, grants for high tunnels and various other government funds? How much does that keep you in business? Because I have a little farm, and it doesn't make money.
Oh, we've gotten several grants. But there is a grant program for high tunnels right now through the EQIP program of NRCS. But we have put up several four greenhouses before that, and the grants were a lot of work, and they didn't make us any money as far as they were research grants. So we've pretty much done it on our own. It is a struggle every year. Farming is not an easy. It's not an easy occupation, especially up here in Alaska with the limitations that we have. But we are making a living, and this is our 13th year.
How about full circle? Are you taking advantage of federal?
Unfortunately, you know, we're all lumped in the specialty crop category in the eyes of the USDA and Farm Bill. So all of the organic and vegetable production is not eligible for any of the direct subsidies. There are a few grants and cost share programs. We have participated in EQIP, part of the NRCS process, to build a covered compost facility, and you put a fish screen in to save salmon on our creek that runs through the property. And then, similar to Mike, we done some of the research projects that really are just there to enhance both the common knowledge about organics and specific growing region problems that we'd like to solve. But it's really a business that you have to manage from the ground up, and you know, you can do it. It is hard work, but it's one that's extremely rewarding and exciting to do. But good luck to you out there, Kurt. You know, if you haven't hooked up with NRCS, I'd highly recommend it. They're a great organization, and that's good farm bill dollars going to work.
Well, actually, when I went and talked to the Soil Conservation Service, because I grow organic, I have to have extra soil tests. They cost more. I have to test every different type of compost I use, which means that the chicken from this year is not the same as the chicken from last year, and the reindeer from the experimental farm has to be tested, and it all costs more. And the way I looked at it is that unless I'm a large-scale industrial chemical user, they don't want me.
I can
pay all that. Kurt, I think things are changing quite a bit, and NRCS is really looking at sustainable agriculture as a key to the future. So I'd be happy to talk to you. You can give me a call after the show, and I can tell you all I know about farming up here.
Yeah, Kurt, I think we have a different boss in the department now.
Oh, well, this was just this spring that I was last in there.
Oh, probably. I think the advice there is hang in there, buddy.
Okay. Well, thanks for the show.
All right, Kurt, thanks for your call from Goldstream Valley. And now into Fairbanks itself. Rich, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Well, thank you very much. I'm the treasurer for the Fairbanks Community Co-op Market, and I wanted to just say thanks to Mike for doing the show, and thanks for his service on the board. He was our board member for a while, but his farming takes precedent. We are trying to establish, and we are very, very close, and we've been trying to establish a community co-op market, the first in Alaska, since about 2007. It was the idea of Fairbankson, who has now passed away, but we're carrying on in his stead, and we're about go over the hump and be able to finance it. It's going to take about $1 million to do this. But
wow.
We want to, well, it has to. If you think about what you need, we want this to be a full-service market. We want it to open with everything you need in the grocery store so that it's a one-stop and can compete head-to-head with the big guys.
Rich, I'm just totally blown away, and you're the treasurer. You actually know what you're talking about here.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. I hope I do. I've never done anything quite of this scale before, but I think it's incredibly important as a part of the infrastructure to get a connection between the farmers, and that's the biggest problem, and it hasn't been discussed enough. But of course, we don't have enough farmers to produce enough food, and everything is nascent. Everything is just emerging. We're trying to put in place the connection between the actual retail market and trying to get people to produce local food so that we can sell them and extend the market into the fall. And we don't want to drive anybody like the farmers markets out of business. They're incredibly successful in the Fairbanks area.
Yeah. Well, it seems like there comes
really
a certain point.
We need more farmers.
Yeah, well, it seems like it comes a certain point and people just have to take out loans. And that ain't easy, and that's one of the reasons that we got CSA in the first place, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. Yeah. We're taking out loans. We're trying to finance the market, and we're trying to do it. I appreciate Kurt's comments from Goldstream. We're trying to do it as politically neutrally as possible. We have specifically not gone to any kind of political subsidy to try and get this. We have what is, I think, the greatest consolation of the entire process, over $300,000 in member loans. Members of the co-op who have joined the co-op, even though we don't sell a dime of worth of food yet, investing in the future of the organization by giving us loans that are due in 6, 8, or 10 years at an interest rate which they choose. Some of them do it at zero interest rate to get this thing off the market. And the community has invested in us with enormous confidence and faith, and that's tremendously consoling. People want this to happen.
Are you? Have you got a location, a potential location? And I mean,
We already have a lease option on the old Foodland building. In
exciting. Wow.
It's exciting, all right. And
Whoa, who did we lose? We lost somebody. Oh, okay. Rich, thank you so much. Yeah.
That's an incredible story. That's exciting. So good for you, Mike. Is that going to really change some of the growing opportunities up there? It sounds like that's some a good basic infrastructure that's going to come in place.
Well, we and a number of other growers hope to sell to the co-op, and we're toying with the idea of forming a growers co-op, so we can pool resources and pool because with many small farms, I think the key to selling, whether it be to large supermarkets or to small restaurants, I might not have broccoli this week, but the farm next door might. And if we were if markets and restaurants knew they could call the local farmers co-op, then they could source they could do the job of sourcing it to what farm has the available produce in that given time.
Well, you know, I think there's an essential mystery in growing things. That is always going to be there. I mean, I know that I have got this plot that is producing unbelievable potatoes, unbelievable lettuce, and I mean, I can be a specialist in this. You know, on the other hand, the beans, not so much. And I'm thinking that, you know, locations just do better in different things. So if you were able to combine forces, you just would seem to have a lot more market power.
Well, see, I mean, farmers co-ops have been, you know, they've been all over the country for many years, and so that's nothing new. It hasn't been done at least here in the Tanana Valley before, and we'd really like to see that happen. I think it could really make a difference. And there's a lot to be said about farmers supporting farmers, and there is an organization, a nonprofit organization, that we're starting here in the state called the Alaska Community Agriculture Association, alaskacommunityag.org, and it's meant to be a farmer support group, an information exchange, an information exchange not also only among farmers, but between farmers and their consumers and anybody interested in local agriculture. And I know you're familiar with it, Steve, but I want to tell anybody out there listening that if they're interested in finding a local farm, the Alaska Community Agriculture Association website, we recently got a marketing grant from the state to put it up, is a good place to go.
Do you, you know, we're finally getting some kind of in the state of Alaska, we're finally getting a little bit of policy movement, wouldn't you say?
I think so. Well, last year there was a farm-to-school program that was signed off on. I don't know the details of it yet, but it was a feel-good measure, I think, and I think it's a great idea. I just hope we have the growers, and I think there will be in the future, to fill that need. Right now, you know, as far as what I see here in the Tanana Valley, you know, ironically, there's not a lot of land available for farming here in the biggest state in the country. It's hard to find land to farm on.
Wow! Wow! And it takes a little bit to get that land ready too.
It does. I mean, we put the chainsaws to work and put the bulldozer blades down, and we cleared 10 acres here. So it is starting from scratch.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike Emmers and Andrew Stout, as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by Alaska Business Monthly, providing a source for statewide in-depth business news on Twitter at AK Business Month or Facebook.
Okay, so you got tremendous interest on the part of the people who want better food. They want local food. They want fresh food. And then you've got the producer side of it and people that really want to be food producers and are looking for being able to capitalize and so forth. And then you got the part in the middle, the market, the business end of it. And the business end of it is making everybody nervous. It has to. It's changing so fast that everybody is having to adapt. And that's difficult when you have the kind of lead times you have when you're in the farming business. We've got Andrew Stout with us. He is the founder and CEO of Full Circle. And Andrew, I think it's fair to say that you started as a farmer and you kind of turned into a businessman.
Yeah, well, I still have the boots and I still go out and get cover crop going down today and Brussels sprouts to top and 40 acres of potatoes to bring in these next couple of weeks. So I get to have the best of both worlds, be able to run a company with great people that are passionate about getting healthy, delicious, organic produce to consumers' homes, and also get to work with excellent growers and really put seed to soil and fix the food system from the ground up. Love my job.
Now, you've got to be proud of the expansion of Full Circle in Alaska. I mean, Alaska must be an important part of your market by now.
It was, and it was an exciting thing. I mean, we developed the Alaska market by invitation. I can remember clearly, back in 2005 and getting the emails from Sue Walker in Juneau, who had a sister down in Portland that was participating in the CSA but didn't have any options in the southeast part of the state, and contacted us and asked if we would participate as the closest shipping point in the lower 48 for Alaska, and it's grown ever since from that town over to Sitka and Ketchikan and Petersburg and Wrangell and all the way out to smaller towns like Angoon, and then my brother lived in Anchorage and he had developed pickup sites with some of his friends and associates, and Then as people throughout the state learned that we had figured out a way to get fresh food into somewhat difficult places to access, it's grown throughout the entire state. And we utilize 17 different carriers, float planes, and terminal points, and numerous just community champions that have desired a fresh organic product where one a lot of times didn't exist, and it's been really exciting and a fun opportunity for us to work there.
Well, now tell me about this box system, because essentially the person pays to get the box, and what's in the box is kind of up to you and your supply chain, isn't it? I mean, they don't get that much control over what's in the box, right?
Well, we've modified that. That's a lot of the traditional CSA, and what we've decided that customers do want a little bit more flexibility. So we make an initial offering. Our standard box has 10 to 12 different items in that, a mix of fruits and vegetables, and kind of a very balanced approach to how you would do your meal planning. Some starches, some salads, some greens, and some fruits. But then we allow the individual to customize that to hit their exact preferences. So if you don't feel like eggplant this week, you don't have to get it. Or if you feel like some more romaine lettuce for a dinner party you're having, you can get some more of that.
I just like to jump in here for just for a second.
Okay,
I don't want
Mike
to
Elmer, go ahead.
For Full Circle. But what I think is there's a big smokescreen going on here, and I think what outfits like Full Circle do by sort of wrapping themselves in the cloak of small food or artisan food or know your farmer is brilliant marketing. And it's good that they're up here in Alaska for some people who can't get it otherwise, but it's a bit disingenuous. And what's happening is since they have a model of distribution similar to a CSA, they sort of cloak themselves in sort of as a quasi CSA, and it really confuses consumers. I know our consumers up here in Fairbanks are confused by all this. It's adding to the problem of local food here in Alaska, and it's not part of the solution. I'll give you an example. In last year, based on We have CSA members down at Denali Park, 2 hours drive south from here. We're the closest large farm to there. And we, based on interest there, we expected to get, about 75 or so new members down there. We were really surprised when we got only 20. And then I went down to a coffee shop down in Glitter Gulch, and there was a picture of Andrew and his family in front of their farm saying, please join our CSA. I was fuming, and I went inside, and I looked. I asked the barista, do you know anything about Full Circle? She said, oh, yeah, that's a local farm that we support. There's a lot of confusion going on here, and like I said, I think it's brilliant marketing, but if people think that Full Circle isn't hurting local farmers, they're wrong.
Okay, let's get an answer. Andrew, I don't think you... I think you would say you don't have an intent to be predatory.
Quite the opposite. I've had conversations with both Mike and some other local growers up there. We look at the competition at the global level, and our mission, you know, is to provide that good, healthy, organic food choice in there. We don't use CSA. It's not anywhere in our website or marketing materials, and Mike knows well, I've had those conversations, that it was no cheap expense to remove that through all places, and we have shown good faith in doing so. We do push the direct-to-consumer food movement. When you get our box of vegetables, every single item is got a grower and a location with it, so it's 100% transparent, and the customers make the choice. Our customer base in Fairbanks is 125 people. Mike's got a bigger one, and all of the other CSAs do. What we have is less than about a half of a percent of the Alaska population gets food from Full Circle. So I think, Mike, the real place that you want to focus the attention is the big box stores. And those are the ones that, in your area, I know specifically a new Walmart came in, and a new big Safeway's come in. And those are guys that aren't buying local, that don't care, that don't want to even help the small farms that we are trying to provide with. There was no small effort from us to actually purchase food from Alaska growers to be able to put in there in boxes. And we do these things not out of marketing or out of a cloaking, but out of a true desire to see healthy food systems. To the extent that our program, unlike a lot of CSAs, allows you to come and go as you please, because we felt it was important that when local seasons were involved, people would leave, and they do, and they go shop at the farmer's market or a good CSA or grow their own garden. And we don't have membership fees or hooks that keep people involved. We want them to have a good food experience.
I don't understand how your business model can work that way.
What's that?
It just seems that you can't predict. You wouldn't be able to predict one month to another what your volume is going to be. I mean, just controlling like inventory and everything, I would think would just get completely insane.
Well, we're good at what we do, and what we what we really go is say we provide a very good, high quality product at a fair price, and we've wound really logistical ways to find the opportunity to get food to people, and it's a different model, and you know that's where our customers, you know, we're in Alaska because of an invitation. You know, it wasn't a careful plan to go there, but it was an opportunity, and we keep getting the phone calls from Alaskan members saying, will you come to our community? We can't get this there. We would like to see your food. And we'll have a dip in the summertime. Absolutely, and we're excited about that because we know that people are enhancing that food connection. And this is at the macro level, where if people are able to get in touch with their food, and I'm psyched and excited to hear about the other callers that are producing and making their food. And you know, we're no different in Washington, Mike. We're most of the food that's produced here is coming from farther and farther and farther away. And I think it's something that I will spend the rest of my life to make those connections stronger, and are happy to be involved in that process. I'm sorry that we are perceived as a predatory system, but I can honestly.
This is what I'd like to say, and I think it's brilliant marketing, and I don't have a problem with what you're doing on a competitive level. You know, if somebody wants to buy your product over my product because it's what they want, and it's because of what you offer, I think that's fine. But what I do want to do is clear up confusion that I know is out there, that Full Circle is not a local farm, and Full Circle is not a local CSA, because there is some confusion out there.
Well, yeah, but I think in fairness, we have to say that Andrew has already given up that ground.
No, right, and I thank him for doing that.
Okay. Yeah. It seems to me that what we're dealing with, it reminds me so much of the farm fish thing. The fact of the matter is that more people are eating salmon than ever, fresh salmon than ever, and now they're getting on to the processed salmon, and that market was expanded because of farm fish. They made the pie bigger. And, Andrew, you appear to be about making the pie bigger. And
absolutely.
What we seem to be nervous about, and what killed a bunch of fishermen was, I mean, not literally, but killed their business was, that they were collateral damage, that the price got so low that all of a sudden their expenses were, you know, they were borrowing money and they were getting for their fish. And
yeah.
And it seems that we do have to be, it seems that collateral damage is a real issue here.
Yeah. And I hear that. And we try every day to make it so that the food system is stronger on all aspects. I think this is a tide that rises all boats. And so, you know, the biggest thing, and I can say, and I'm sure Mike agrees with this, the other perception between organic and non-organic is the other fight that's out there. And, you know, not everybody is in tune or willing to pay for an organic product, and that complicates, you know, the local growing as well to finding that right market niche. And there is more, I think, competition when it gets down to those smaller niches and those smaller communities.
Yeah, at least in my farmer's market, they seem to be enjoying that competition.
Well, you know, competition can and is good, especially
right.
If it's a benefit to the consumer, which I see here.
I think we'll start with more calls here. Elisa in Palmer, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi there. How are you doing? Thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment because here Andrew's speaking, and you guys are making a fantastic aid, bringing food to rural remote sites. I do have to bring up that I switched from downtown market in Anchorage. I was there for the last 4 years. Went to Spinard this year for the first time, and it was fantastic. Spinard's doing a great market. But here a couple weeks ago, Full Circle Farm showed up at our local market, where Spinard's mission is locally made, locally grown, locally caught. And earlier, I didn't quite hear Andrew answer or give a response with regard to how much or what percentage is locally grown. And my other question is that percentage of locally grown, where do you store it? Are you trucking it back to Washington and then bringing it back up here? Or, you know, is that a question that you're sharing with your consumers? And, you know, it was a little frustrating. It was, you had a lot of angry farmers. It was pretty interesting that Saturday to see it come down the line like a telephone game there.
Oh, I wish I'd have been there, Elisa. Yeah.
Andrew, forks and torches all the way.
Andrew, yeah. Okay, well, Andrew, yeah, go ahead. How do you get the local stuff in Alaska into your boxes?
That one, we have a warehouse. We have Alaska employees. You know, we've been doing business up there for 7 years and contribute to the economies all over the state. And so we have a warehouse there. No, we do not ship things down to the lower 48 just to ship them back up there. That doesn't make any sense, but also makes
it
challenging.
Yeah, so that would be redundant.
And what do you what's your response? I mean, clearly there were people at the farmer's market were not happy to see Full Circle showing up there.
We're there by invitation. So
no, you were not invited. You were not invited.
Okay, well, I can't have factual disputes because I can't solve them.
Sure. I got you. Sorry, but I thought it was a little underhanded. Here we are. You know, myself, I'm small scale. I farm 5,000 square feet, which provides for my family. And then, you know, I take great pride in going to market and knowing my customers and having that weekly conversation and interaction and bringing whole food to market and sharing it with the community and enriching the community. And it's, you know, it would be nice that more people could do that, but, you know, it was too bad. You know, I'm glad to hear this program going on now, but it would have been nice to see it or hear it happening about mid-August when the market is really going. You know, there's stuff being harvested now, but as far as, you know, when you've got really nice-looking cauliflower and broccolis and such, you know, we had our hard frost last night. My husband mowed my garden down on Sunday, so
yeah.
It's just
sad. It's sad, isn't it?
We need to see that the movement more in August, you know, or in mid-July when we're really starting to show up at our local markets. Because that's when we need the people, and that's when I can consistently in my sales, you know, you can look at the sales at the beginning of July, a couple hundred dollars, you know, and that second week of August is that peak, and then it just kind of goes down, you know, not really a bell curve. It's more just of a up and a down.
All right, Elisa, thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys, and good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, serving Alaskans' financial needs for nearly a century. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Quitting tobacco is the best thing you can do for your health. Join a free program that will help you create an easy-to-follow plan to quit. It will show you how to get ready, take action, and then live the rest of your life as a non-smoker. Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line provides 8 weeks of patches, gum, or lozenges, and quit coaches that are trained to address Alaskans, including expectant mothers. There's more information at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visit AlaskaQuitLine.com. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line. It's free, it's confidential, and it works.
We're talking about local food, fresh food, food choices, producer to consumer links, new ones. Let's go to Doreen, joins the program from Barrow. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Doreen.
Hi, thank you very much. I just wanted to say I am a consumer of Full Circle Farms, and in rural Alaska, in communities such as Barrow, I can't tell you how much we appreciate Full Circle Farms just because of the cost of groceries and produce here locally in Barrow that you can't get fresh. It says fresh, but it doesn't last for more than a day or two. We don't have that option to go to a farmer's market every week and purchase locally. And I just wanted to say how much I appreciate it, especially for a lot of our professional staff who aren't from the North Slope or from Barrow, school teachers and things like that, who are from the lower 48 or other areas and really appreciate that. And there's quite a big group of us who do use Full Circle Farms, and we just really appreciate it. And having that option for fresh produce here with our obesity rates and health and wellness and how much we don't eat fresh vegetables and fruit here, it's a great option. So that's all I just wanted to call and say and how much we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Doreen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Andrew, you can say thank you to thank you.
I did thank you to thank you. That's what we were, that gets us up in the morning.
Yeah, it is. The choices, you have to go to the villages really to see how much those boxes might be appreciated out there. let's try Cheryl and Esther here. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Cheryl.
Hi, I'm calling as a local grower and a mom, and I just wanted to say that as a community, I think that Fairbanks, the local farmers here, we just work really closely together to support each other and to lift each other up, and I just find that this issue is disconcerting when we have a hard time filling our CSA because there are so many customers that are going with this other option. And I think that there could just be a little bit more cooperation, maybe even a list of the different options that could be advertised on the local level that would eliminate all of the gas, all of the tremendous amount of cost shipping that food all the way up here from as far away as Chile or Mexico. Some of that food is, it might be organic, but it's not local even to the Washington area. So to say that that's a local farm, it is a misnomer, and I just wanted to...
Right. Well, I think if you've been listening during the program, we have covered a lot of that, but I certainly can hear your concern there.
Yeah, we grow food for our family to teach our children work ethic, to provide healthy food for them, and then we probably farm about half an acre, and with that we're able to feed between 15 and 20 families. It's really small scale, and so it just hurts when there aren't as many customers, as many clients as there could be.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl from Esther.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cheryl, I think that's a wonderful point. And when you look at where things are coming from, and you really have to make an effort to support local growers. And if that supply chain should fall apart and we're not set up with a local farm economy, we're in really big trouble in Alaska. We're vulnerable on so many different levels. An effort really needs to be made to supporting and growing local agriculture.
It's a fascinating dialogue. And Andrew Stout of Full Circle Farms, how do you answer this food miles thing? I mean, clearly you know, as you say, we're good at what we do, but still, that has to show up in the price, and the price is the point of competition, price and distribution. Yes,
it does. I mean, I dream of a world where there's only local food systems. I mean, that's been my whole career, and that's why we grow what we do here, to provide local food for my community, the people that I see on a daily basis. And what we try to do is make the best food choices available to all of our customers, including the ones that don't have farmland around them. And what I'd love to see, and that's why we've created, I think, the model that I hope is helping get out messaging, that's getting out opportunity for that day to come. And I think Mike and I are going to spend the rest of our days working on local food systems. What I think the bad guy out here are the big box stores that don't support or care about that, but that are getting the bulk of all the food dollars.
There comes a certain point, like even like say AC and Barrow, enough of your boxes to go to Barrow, AC pays attention. They will.
They will. They did it in Juneau. The local food stores started carrying a lot more organic, and the quality went up. We're able to be nimble on the logistics piece. We consolidate really well. We are extremely concerned about the shipping points. And, you know, if Mike's exactly right on, if there was no shipping right now, there would be a devastation at the food level in Alaska. It has to have that. And so what we're trying to say is there's better ways to make this more nimble, more efficient, better, so that over time, you know, the local food movements can continue to grow. But it gets down to a big part of the matter is, you know, what people are willing to spend for food, how they value that. Mike's got 150 CSA members that have decided that's an important part of their life. But that's in a city of 60,000, and many of those other people go other places and make different food choices. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that we need to convince that food is important, and local food systems are important, and healthy food systems are important. And you got to know where your food came from, and that's then people actually can make good choices, and I think many do. But there's a long way to go.
I can just imagine people going to the parking lots of the bar of the box stores and holding up signs trying to promote their CSAs and see how far they get. Security run them off within a half an hour.
Andrew's making an important point here, and that is, I think in Andrew's case this might be true, and in our case this is certainly true. The people that can afford our food, whether through a CSA or at farmers market, are people by and large who are more well off than others. And I think the key is getting good local food to the masses at a price that farmers can afford to stay in business.
Yeah. I will say this for the full circle model, it's getting food into barrel at competitive prices. That's what I heard from Doreen. Let's go to Kerry, joins the program in Sitka. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Kerry.
Oh, hi. There you are. Let's see. I'm with the Sitka Local Food Network, and I just wanted to chime in that, like most places, all of our food, virtually all of it, 98% of it, arrives on barge. And so we had an interesting CSA here. What they did is they instead of putting it all on Full Circle to have them source local food and mix it in with their box, we had a person that produced local food and also ordered from Full Circle and another similar operation and created their own quasi-local boxes that they shipped out.
I just got 30 seconds. I really want to hear what Andrew has to say about this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting. That just thrills me because those are the connection points that are now being established. So I couldn't be more proud of being a part of that and not even knowing it. So
I want to thank all of our callers. Andrew, you were a very good sport, and I hope we furthered the dialogue about all this. Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
Mike Emmers, thank you for suggesting this program. I hope we got somewhere.
Thanks very much for having us, Steve, and thanks, Andrew, for participating.
All right.
No worries. Good luck with the harvest. Thank you. You too.
All right. It's Talk of Alaska. Thanks to Josh Hedge, Laurie Townsend, and Dave Waldron. I'm Steve Heimel.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska, pebblepartnership.com. And by Solstice Advertising, bringing creativity to Alaska businesses and nonprofits, from research and strategy to print, web, and broadcast production. Solstice Advertising, an agency for brands that want to shine.
You can find APRN headlines and more online at alaskapublic.org. Local, national, and international news, upcoming events, and statewide community conversation. alaskapublic.org, connecting you to Alaska one story at a time.
This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.